You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Wednesday Warfare on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And joining me on his globe-trotting tour of North America, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, where are you at this weekend, this week?
Eddie, I am back. I'm back in Texas. I'm back home. I spent the last week in Canada, in Toronto, Canada, and it was a cold week, I told you. I was walking around. I was pretty cold outside, and I thought that when I got on a plane to come back to Austin, Texas, I would be fine.
And what really happened?
Toronto. I left on Thursday afternoon, and I think we all know, Thursday night, our plane lands, and it's snowing. It's snowing, and it's snowing actually pretty heavy down by the airport. A little bit less up by my house up in Cedar Park, but still, I escaped snow all week in Toronto, only to come home and have it snowing here. My kids were super pumped. They were excited. I said, guys, enjoy the snow while it lasts. It's probably going to be gone by 12 o'clock. And, maybe like a leap year. It's going to come back once every 4 years. I mean, you never know when we're going to have snow again here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, what you did was you brought it back with you. Apparently, it just followed you like Mr. Freeze followed Batman.
It was already here before I got here. I'd seen some pictures of Kerrville. I just didn't think it was going to get all the way up to Austin. So, you know, and obviously it's a 70 degrees on Sunday, over 70 on Monday. That's typical Texas for you. We actually tried to go out to the lake on Saturday and get a boat, but the winds were a little bit too high. But that would have been great. Snowing 2 days, out boating on 2 days later.
And you never can sell around here. Just have to be prepared for everything.
Of course. So, Eddie, it was a big weekend in combat sports. I know you were watching everything. You always tell me you're going to watch Bellator. You're going to watch Invicta. You were going to watch UFC. And I know you're going to watch top-ranked boxing as well. But besides all the fighting and combat sports you watched, what else did you do, Eddie?
I had to work like 11 hours on Saturday. So that was very exciting.
So are you going to – how much are you in the Christmas spirit right now? I mean, I know you love Christmas commercials. You love Christmas music. Are you just loving life right now?
You know, if you've seen my Instagram, you know how little Christmas spirit I have right now.
Well, I try to stay off your Instagram, you know, specifically, because I don't want you to, you know, you're like the Ebenezer Scrooge of Fight Night ATX.
I think of myself more like the Grinch. You know, the Scrooge had money.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. At one point, though, Eddie, your heart is going to have to grow 3 sizes, so I'm not sure when that's going to be.
I don't know either, but according to my gram, I want everyone to fa-la-la-la-la off a bridge.
Yeah, I heard you say that. So, well, Eddie, I am, I am in the Christmas spirit. I'm sitting here. I'm sipping apple cider. Our house is lit. The lights are on. I think you've seen this, but it's exciting to be here. And I love Christmas time. You know, the kids love Christmas, and we're getting excited as that day comes a little bit closer.
Now, do you go as overboard as you do on the 4th of July?
In outfits?
Everything.
Well, I mean, Eddie, I think you have. I mean, if you have not seen. I can outfit a small family of four or maybe five in Christmas sweaters, turtlenecks. I have red shoes. I have my red watch, iWatch band. But then I have my plaid Christmas suit as well. So,
oh yeah,
I can throw up Christmas if you need me to.
You got to post the suit on the Instagram.
Yeah, I will. But the real thing is though, so my mom was a teacher. And she has all of these, like, super, what you would say now are ugly sweaters. And they were just sweaters to her. And so I got all of her sweaters.
You saying your mom had no taste?
Dad. What's that?
Are you saying your mom had no taste?
Well, no, but in the 90s, that's what teachers wore. And that's what she wore.
Yeah.
And it was just these sweaters that have, like, you know, big, like, snowmen on them. And, you know, nothing blinking lights, but they're not the best. And she now gets mad at me when I wear them at ugly Christmas sweater parties because she's like, wait, those are my clothes. Why are you saying that they're ugly? And I'm saying, well, they fit, so.
Just tell her times changed, Mom.
That's true. Well, she does know that. So Eddie, there was a lot of fights this weekend.
So many
obviously,
fights.
Obviously, we were excited mostly for Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux and then UFC Fresno. So let's start with UFC Fresno. That has the biggest impact for, you know, for our business, for our show. Did you watch all of UFC Fresno?
I watched all of the prelims of the main card, yeah.
Well, that is more than I did. So
I am not surprised.
I wouldn't watch these prelims, but I did watch the main card. And first
Wait.
Go ahead.
You didn't see what Liz Carmouche did to Alexis Davis's face?
I see that she lost, but no, I have no idea.
Look it up. She looks like Quasimodo.
Well,
oh, my God.
Reference. So, okay, well, there we go. So, Eric Anders, though, still undefeated in big moments. So, undefeated in the UFC and in title games against Texas.
Oh, yeah, and they gave him an opponent straight out of a Nas commercial.
I did see that. So, Marcus Perez, he looked game, though, in that first round. But he quickly kind of turned tired.
Yeah, he faded. He took the fight on short notice.
And even at the end of that first round, he was still trying to taunt him and like say that he wasn't going to, that his punches didn't do much to him. You could totally tell they did.
Oh yeah.
And obviously Anders just really had his way in that second and third round. One judge gave it a 29-28, which is where I kind of saw it. And then another one, I think it was like 30-26, and then 30-25, which that's crazy.
Those
judges scoring those all over the place.
Well, Perez did so little in the third round. That doesn't completely surprise me, but Anders looked so winded himself in the third that he just got on top and just like was throwing like, half-hearted fists.
What did you think about Anders in the call after the fight? He called out Lyoto Machida, and he called him out in Brazil.
That's a heck of a jump.
A hostile environment. I'd like to fight Lyoto Machida. You think that's what?
That's a heck of a jump up in competition.
It is a heck of a jump, but if you look at Machida, he's lost four of his last five. His only win is over C.B. Dalloway.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Eric Anders in there with C.B. Dalloway. His other losses are to Derek Brunson, Yoel Romero, Luke Rockhold, and Chris Weidman. So this is not the Lyoto Machida of old. Lyoto Jackson just said that people have been talking about Lyoto retiring, and he said, no, I'm still interested in the title, which that's not ever going to happen. But
no, but I see him as kind of a matchup problem for Anders. Anders is still young in the game. He still lunges in a lot. And with someone like Machida, with the distance that he keeps and the way that he counterpunches, he's a bad matchup for Anders.
So you kind of think it's a little bit too big, too fast?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a fair. I also just think that Lyoto Machida, not the Lyoto Machida of old, right? I mean,
right.
He's definitely shown some wear on him. And, it would be a good test, and it kind of shows where Eric Anders is. I think he's 9-0 or 10-0.
Yeah, but if he did beat him, that'd be a hell of a cap and a little feather in his cap.
Yeah, of course, and he definitely moves up. So that was obviously a fight that we were interested in because he's a hot young prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to
I had to love all the football kind of analogies that the announce team tried to make.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, guys, we get it. Let it go.
Yeah, Marlon Moraes versus Aljamain Sterling. We both picked Sterling last week. In fact, I think we both ended up tying over the weekend.
Yes,
but
we
Marlon
did.
Moraes, they stand up, and he immediately goes for, it looks like he was going for a kick, but catches him on a takedown that Aljo's trying to go for, catches him with that knee, and just crumples Aljamain Sterling. Like, literally just face drops, face first into the canvas, rolls over.
Yeah, and the memes are already getting pretty mean online.
Yeah, and good thing for Sterling, he's taking it in stride with that, hey, the memes will last forever, and he knows that.
Yeah.
But Moraes really showed good character, too. And he was really more concerned about the health of Aljamain Sterling as opposed to, what he really wants to do and how excited he is for the division. That's a big win for Marlon Moraes.
It really is, yeah. It really puts him into the upper echelon of bantamweights, which is where most people thought he should be, where he should have been when he first got here. Now, I thought he may have lost the John Dodson fight like a month ago, but he came back out
less than a month ago.
Yeah, and came back out this weekend and proved that, hey, he's a force to be reckoned with. And I had, I blinked. The ref separated them, and then, he's, fixing his glove or something. I looked down on my phone for a second, and the announcers are screaming. Like, son of a, I missed it. Rewind.
Unfortunately,
cringe.
You can do that.
Yeah. That was a very cringeworthy knockout of the year candidate right there.
Well, I mean, what's really exciting is that, Marlon Moraes, he's had three fights in the UFC, right? He had his first loss to Rafael Assuncao, then he beats John Dodson, and now he's beat Aljamain Sterling. I would love to see him match up, just kind of start moving up the line.
Oh,
Brian
yeah.
Caraway, who we know doesn't have a fight. We're probably not going to give him that rematch with Rafael Assuncao right now. Could happen at a later date. You got Jimmy Rivera. He's going to be fighting John Lineker, we know, at the end of this month.
Uh-huh.
Brian Caraway's still the odd man out. not sure what we do with Dominic Cruz either. So I actually don't like that matchup for Marlon Moraes against Dominic Cruz. But, you know, he's up there now, and he's going to have a conversation to be in with those fights.
Yeah, and they will be great fights too.
Yeah, I mean, it just showed a ton of power from Marlon Moraes. So, and like you mentioned before, less than a month he fought. So that's when he beat John Dodson.
Yeah, and this time he fought for like a minute. So he could come back again, depending on how well how the weight cut goes.
So I fast-forwarded through the Gabriel Benitez fight over Jason Knight. So, but did Jason Knight bite Benitez at one time?
Yes, he did. He bit him on the finger.
The finger?
Yeah. Somehow, Benitez's hands got towards his mouth, and Knight just bit down. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was an accident. I'm like, that's not an accident.
Well, did you see what Ian McCall said? That he said he doesn't care if it's okay or not. You put your fingers in my mouth, I'm going to bite them.
I understand that, too. But I'm just like, I'm looking for a Charlie bit me sound effect. I couldn't find it in time. It's like, what? I'm like, maybe he should be called the Mississippi Cannibal instead of Mississippi Mean. Maybe a Mississippi Tyson. Like, I know that he was getting beat, and he was looking a little desperate and very out of his own game. But to just bite people. I mean, I'm glad the referee didn't, like, just give him a warning. Because you're in a fight and you bite someone, that's not a warning. You take a point, and he did a good job with that.
I mean, biting someone, you also think, like, you bite someone on purpose. I mean, you think about Mike Tyson and Holyfield.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be allowed to fight for a while.
No kidding. That's as bad as punching a ref.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the main event, Eddie. Brian Ortega, Cub Swanson. Ortega looks so much bigger than Cub Swanson.
Yeah, but to look at him, though, you wouldn't think that he got busted for steroids a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, he's undefeated. His lone blemish on his record is that no contest that he had that came from that failed test.
Was it 2014?
Cub Swanson,
2013?
Yeah. We know it's in his last fight of his contract, right?
Yeah.
And he really wanted to get this win and get that title shot, and you really kind of felt heartbroken for Cub, especially as he put that tweet out that, you know, plans change, things change. This was a big loss for Cub, and it really changes the dynamic. And
yeah, for some reason, I just felt, like, worried for him going into it. Just as the night went on, as the fight got closer, I just had a bad feeling for Cub.
Did you feel that same way when he fought Frankie back in Austin a few years ago?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he gets the loss. So, Eddie, he actually looked, and he was the much busier fighter.
Oh, he looked great.
But you really, at the end of that first round, when Brian Ortega got in that you know, the choke, he probably, you give him 30 more seconds, that fight's over.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen, like, such panic on someone's face as you saw in Cub as he was laying down looking up at the lights.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was the guy's jiu-jitsu is, it seems just effortless. And that was really demonstrated in that second round. When he gets him in the standing guillotine, he kicks off to try to get that position and get more leverage, and then he's able to change his hold, adjust his grip.
Yeah, kicks off the cage and adjusts midair with his grip. Yeah,
you just see a frantic tap by Cub because he's so worried about that, and he's come out later and said that he literally thought he was going to die, but it was in a panic trying to tap and get him off of him.
Yeah, and the amazing thing to me was that he got both of these grips while they were still standing. He didn't take him down and then get him in that first, what was it, anaconda, and then in the guillotine?
Yeah.
Neither one. He got them, like, from the clinch.
Yeah, I was looking at notes later on the fight and looking at fight metric, and Ortega gets the guillotine but has no takedowns during the fight. He was 0 for 1 in takedowns.
Right.
And so I thought that was, you know, that was incredible.
I mean, it's like you just have to – he's as bad as Damian Maia. You can't get close to the guy. If you don't do all your striking from a distance, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Dana White has come out and said that he would like Cub Swanson to stay in the UFC, that they'll see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
My fear is that Cub, his asking price is going to be a little bit too high, and he may be going to Bellator. So we'll see what happens to Cub. But let's jump over
to
Brian Ortega. Ortega now has wins over Cub Swanson, Clay Guida. Remember, that was in 2016, so a little bit older, washed Clay Guida, Diego Brandao. Thiago Tavares, he's got a few names and a few, I mean, some big wins, especially in that Cub Swanson win. But he's now – so right now as we look at the rankings, Eddie, mm-hmm. Brian Ortega, he was ranked, you know, sixth.
Sixth, yeah.
Cub Swanson is ranked fourth going into the fight. My guess is obviously he's going to move up above Cub Swanson, move to fourth.
Yeah, I'm guessing they just
maybe
swap,
even
maybe.
Could say –
yeah, no, you can't put
– move down.
Yeah.
So
four and five.
You could even see him jump over Ricardo Lamas.
Ooh.
Just because of that performance and that great performance, and people see that right away.
It's possible.
And the people who are making the rankings, they kind of recency is there's a recency bias on there. Good news is Ricardo Lamas is fighting this week. Now,
yeah.
Brian Ortega came out there and he said that he still believes Frankie Edgar is the number one contender. He's going to wait for his shot. I don't think he waits.
Well, it turns out Dana says the same thing.
What's that?
Well, it turns out Dana says the same thing. So, yeah.
That he's not going to wait?
No, that he's not going to jump Frankie.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to jump Frankie. He doesn't want to jump Frankie either. But he also said, hey, I want to wait until that fight happens. I think he's got to be active again. Let's get him another win or another fight at least. And I think that if Ricardo Lamas beats Josh Emmett this weekend, that was supposed to be the Ricardo Lamas-Jose Aldo fight.
Right.
But if Ricardo Lamas gets a win, I think a Brian Ortega-Ricardo Lamas fight would be a great matchup to determine who the number one contender is.
After Frankie Edgar. My thoughts exactly.
After Frankie.
Yeah. So yeah. Frankie says now that he should be ready for a fight in the spring. He's looking at maybe March because he's almost 100% healed from his orbital fracture. So you book that fight for sometime in probably March. And then the winner, and maybe you put Lamas if he wins and Ortega on the undercard or, you know, yeah, somewhere in the undercard.
Yep, I agree.
Now you have a backup, and the winner is on the same timetable.
Yeah, we want them on the same timetable. But Frankie Edgar, that was the best-case scenario for Cub Swanson to lose. Because if Cub wins and looks emphatic in a win, he could have jumped Frankie Edgar for a title shot.
Oh, it's possible, especially not knowing when exactly Frankie's going to be back.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Cub, it was a good fight night. There were some good finishes. I mean, yeah, we definitely saw some incredible knockouts. You know, it's making that knockout of the year pretty tough. I mean, that Marlon Moraes knee knockout, I don't know if it goes over the Francis Ngannou from UFC 218.
Yeah, it was pretty scary and sickening, but I don't know if it jumps that yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. So well, let's jump over to Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux. So,
all right, you're going to have to tell me about this one because I only got to see about a round because I was still flipping back between that and Bellator.
Okay. So you know now, Rigondeaux, he quits on the stool, right? After the sixth, he just says he can't continue. He comes back and said it was a hand injury, but you really had the commentators just ripping him. That look, boxers, there's been many championships won with injured hands, with broken hands, and you've got to continue. I mean, they were grilling him as, you know, as quitting on the stool.
You know, I hate that. I really hate that. You don't know what a man's injury is like. It's easy to sit there from the side and say, oh, he should keep going. You don't know what it feels like. You don't know how mushy his hand has turned into, you know? You don't know.
I agree. Then you have people like Uriah Faber who breaks both his hands and only goes with elbows.
Right.
And so are other people who box.
But boxers can't use elbows, you know?
They break a hand and they go with the other hand. And
yeah.
So I totally get it. But
and against someone like Lomachenko, you can't fight one-handed. I mean, you're already basically fighting with a hand behind your back anyway.
That Lomachenko came out and said, I think his new name is going to be Nomachenko. Because Rigondeaux wanted Nomas. And so I thought that was pretty clever.
That was good.
So Rigondeaux now gets his lone blemish on his record. And Lomachenko, obviously, he retains his WBO junior lightweight title. But, Eddie, the real story was in the rounds. According to Coffee Box, Rigondeaux never landed more than three punches in any single round.
Three?
And Lomachenko, no more than three in any round.
I could have done that.
Exactly. Lomachenko, he averaged 68.3 punches per round in the final three rounds. And Rigondeaux had 32. And then he outlanded him 34-8 overall.
Well, he must have broken his hand early.
Yeah, no, I mean, he just was so good. And it was just so fast, and you could just see the technique of Lomachenko. So I don't watch a ton of boxing, but, we wanted to watch this fight because we knew that this was just going to be, the first time, obviously, two gold medalists were going to be fighting each other.
Right.
But this had so much hype around it. And obviously, Lomachenko just looks so much better. Also, Eddie, on the card, Michael Conlon. So you remember that this is a guy that Conor McGregor, he walked out with in his debut back in March at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
This is when he was yelling at the boxing MMA media. So
oh, yeah.
He goes now, he gets his fifth victory. Michael Conlon was fighting on that card as well. But Eddie.
Wait, Connor wasn't there?
Connor was not there. Bellator 190. Rafael Carvalho defeats Alessio Sakara.
Oh, man.
Did you watch that fight? I saw it. You tell me your thoughts.
I don't think it can actually be called a fight. It was just a quick mauling.
24 seconds. So, yeah.
I mean, once he landed that one good shot, I think he hit him right on the chin. Sakara was backing up, and then that elbow from hell just, like, crumpled him. I mean, it was unfair, it seemed like. And the crowd in Italy, they were so amped to see Sakara win this fight, win a title, and they were just dead silent. I mean, they were worried about him, as they should have been. And, you know, I always cheer in situations like this. I want the hometown guy to win because I think it's good for the sport to get much more interest in the local fan base. And Carvalho just killed Italy with that one elbow. I mean, he might have set them back 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, like, why is Sakara getting in, you know, getting a middleweight title shot? His win just came off of Joey Beltran. He hadn't made that weight in a while. But I guess, you know, when you're in Bellator, there's not a ton of better options.
Yeah, he had three wins in a row. He had three wins in a row. They wanted a good main eventer for their show in Florence. So in that case, it kind of makes sense. And it's Bellator, you know, they can do whatever they want to.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it would have been great if it had worked. I mean, the roof would have blown off that place. But
yeah.
Holy crap, did it not work. And I feel sorry for Sakara. Well.
Yeah, there you go. So that's pretty much the highlights of the weekend. Eddie, is there anything else that I missed over the weekend?
Army-Navy game. That was a fun one.
Yep.
Yeah. And we ended up tying in the picks. But it's funny, the Buffalo game made Army-Navy look balmy. Did you see that?
Well, I saw the Army-Navy game, and that looked ridiculous.
Oh, man, no. Go back and find Buffalo from Sunday. It's freaky. It's like a video game.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll find that. And that's about it. It was a good weekend of sports, good weekend of fights, fun weekend of football. The Cowboys still have some hope. My Bears decided to win a game that was meaningless and set us back a draft pick. That's fun. So, yeah. And Texas got a new athletic director. And now you're all caught up.
Are you happy about that?
I am. He seems like he's pretty good at his job. And Texas needed someone after they completely botched the whole Oliver Luck thing with Steve Patterson. So, yeah, I am happy about him. He seems to really know what he's doing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, I think that's round one. Let's come back. There are a ton of news, Eddie. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We will be right back.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what, who knew, what up with that? What up with that? Yes, sir.
Jordan, do you know I am still behind on my Saturday Night Lives?
Well, I have not watched it yet either. James Franco was hosting last week. I believe that Jack Black is going to be hosting this week.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's the case. And if that is, obviously they're going to be there promoting Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, that means that I would love for one person to show up.
Kevin Hart, right?
This weekend.
Yeah, Kevin
not
Hart.
Kevin. Oh, no. Maybe Kevin Hart's hosting. And that's why I was thinking of it. Maybe I think it's Kevin Hart, actually.
Oh. Either one, Kevin Hart or Jack Black, will lead to much better sketches.
Well, and hopefully it's going to lead to someone like The Rock, because that's what I want to see show up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he's going to do Jumanji, may as well bring back, who was that monkey character?
Mr. Peepers.
Yes.
Mr. Poppers. It was Mr. Peepers' father. So.
Yeah.
He's also doing Rampage, which is also another monkey character. So Kevin Hart and the Foo Fighters are on this weekend.
Okay, nice. I just started watching the Halloween one with Larry David. That's how behind I am. I gotta catch up. It was the Astros. I still blame the Astros for making me so far behind on my DVR. But not that anyone cares. Let's get into the fight news. All right, Jordan, we had a UFC title change this week without a punch being thrown. What's up with that?
Eddie, I mean, are we surprised?
Go ahead, say it. I was right.
I don't know what I... You were right?
I was right.
And what were you right at?
GSP never intended on defending that title.
Well, yeah, I think both of us said that there's no chance that he's going to be fighting Robert Whittaker in Perth. So, I guess we could say we're both right, really.
Yeah. Well, I didn't add the in Perth part. Just no chance at all.
All right, so last week in an interview with TSN in Canada, GSP said that his colitis is due to putting weight on for that middleweight title against Michael Bisping, and that because of that, he probably wouldn't defend his new title. And then sure enough, a couple days later, the UFC announced that St. Pierre had actually vacated the title, which is actually the right move. We see other fighters who have no intention of fighting in their division or defending their belt, until some point. But now the UFC has done and made Robert Whittaker versus Luke Rockhold, UFC 221 in February in Perth. They're going to be crowning the undisputed champion. So,
Wait. They've already crowned the undisputed champion.
Well,
it's Robert Whittaker.
He'll
be defending the undisputed championship in Perth.
Nope, that's not true.
What?
They've upgraded him to the full-on middleweight champion.
Right. It's undisputed now.
So he will be fighting to crown the undisputed champion.
Who's disputing it now?
He's never won. He hasn't earned that right, though.
No, he's been made the undisputed champion.
Okay, so he's gonna crown the real undisputed champion.
He's gonna defend his championship.
He is gonna defend his championship. That's correct. And we're gonna crown the undisputed champion.
Okay. Well, can I just take a minute here to hate on GSP?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so not only does he, you know, avoid Anderson Silva moving up to middleweight for years when he was still the champ, he takes off all this time, and he handpicks his opponent, who everyone has considered the most flawed middleweight champion in basically history. He says, oh, he needs to take all this time to put on weight, even though they tried to make this fight last year this time. They were supposed to fight last November. They couldn't get things together. So now all of a sudden he's got to take all this extra time to put on all this extra weight. What was he going to do in November last year? And now all of a sudden he's got ulcerative colitis. I'm not going to say he's not sick. I'm just saying it's mighty convenient.
And
now he's going to leave again and come back and handpick a smaller fighter, i.e. Conor McGregor, to fight against to make the big bucks. GSP is picking and choosing.
Who do you feel bad for?
Who do I feel bad for?
Yeah. The UFC? I mean, I have a hard time feeling bad for the UFC after years of contracts of guys have contracts and they cut them after a loss. Or they say this person's going to get a fight and then they don't give that fight. Tyron Woodley was supposed to fight GSP. UFC, Dana White changes their mind. So, you know.
Yeah. I guess Tyron Woodley's probably the biggest victim in all of this. Bisping got his big payday. Whittaker, we never really believed that fight was going to happen anyway. Conor's likely to get a big payday. The UFC gets a big payday. GSP gets a big payday. The only person not? Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, but Tyron Woodley was never really in talks to fight GSP. Just we never wanted to fight him. And so
they said that he lost it by his performance against Maya, but he was never really going to get that.
So I mean, it just makes me it's tough. I get your point, and I say that you can be mad at George St. Pierre.
I'm not mad at him.
I
don't begrudge him making his money. I'm just calling a spade a spade. He's handpicking his opponents, kind of the same way Michael Bisping did. But Michael Bisping got a lot of crap for it.
You know, and I'm okay with that because the UFC has thrown out rankings time after time after time, and they've gone for the money fight, so you don't really feel bad. It's not like I'm going to be mad at George St. Pierre for picking his opponents, and I'm going to end up with my sympathy going towards the UFC.
Oh, yeah, can't hate the player, hate the game.
So the UFC has done plenty of business, their business that way, to see that it happens to both sides, right?
Right. But I expect that the UFC will be trying to book Conor versus GSP for, I'm guessing, International Fight Week. But some news coming out of England says that might be different. What's up with that, Jordan?
Yeah, so, Eddie, I know you'd love to see Conor versus GSP next. Honestly, I'm sure you would take GSP or Conor versus Nate, even Conor versus Tony Ferguson.
How about Conor just in a cage?
Conor in a cage? I think there's some news about that coming up as well. So Jim White of Sky Sports in England, he said last week that Manny Pacquiao has said that he's reached out to Conor McGregor's team about boxing him next. Now, if you remember back on Thanksgiving, Manny sent out a Thanksgiving picture of Conor McGregor and said, "Stay fit, my friend, #real boxing match, #2018. Now, we didn't think much of it, but it may be coming a reality. Pacquiao's manager is Bob Arum. We know that Bob Arum, Dana White, they don't get along. And
boy,
I
do they
believe
don't.
That Dana White, yeah, Dana White and Bob Arum are not going to be able to get this together like Dana could with Team Mayweather. But last week in Fresno, Dana White was asked about this. He said, look, if that's the news, that's news to me. And if that is the case, Pacquiao is going to get sued, and everyone who represents him is going to get sued because Conor McGregor is under contract, and that's not the right way to do it. Also, Eddie,
yep.
I've heard, so you remember that post after the Max Holloway-Jose Aldo fight. Conor McGregor, who is
oh, the sunglasses?
Very meticulous in the sunglasses, yes, meticulous yeah. and smart about how he, when he posts on social media, I've heard, according to some sources online, Talk MMA, Diz, some sources say that Max Holloway, Conor McGregor, Max Holloway is the fight that Conor wants next. He doesn't want Tony Ferguson. He's interested in a Max Holloway fight. And
really?
You've got to think that's a great fight.
Well, it's a great fight, but that's Conor pulling a GSP and handpicking his guys because he wants to fight the smaller guy who, in his mind, he already beat, and in his mind he could beat again versus fighting someone as big as Tony, who would
how
be a much bigger problem.
So, Eddie, how can you be upset at Conor wanting to fight the UFC 145 champion when Conor
because he still lost, won't like, be defending the title that he has. Well, he doesn't have that title anymore.
You could say that he's the linear champion, and he could go back and try to defend that. He's technically defending that champion. And trust me, if Conor's fighting Max Holloway, Conor's showing up with a belt to every single press conference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm just saying he doesn't want to defend the belt that he has against the monsters in the lightweight division. He wants to go down and, you know, pick up his second belt again. Conor is not about defending his title. That's what he needs to do is defend the belt that he has.
Well, he is not the person that took away the 145-pound weight class.
No, he's the person that didn't defend it.
And the only reason they took it away, though, is not because he didn't defend it. It's because they needed a main event and a title on the main event a year ago when Max Holloway fought Anthony Pettis.
Well, they were going to take it away anyway, and they had already stated
Are
that.
They?
They were,
Are
yeah.
They? Because they still haven't taken away the belt for the UFC lightweight division. That's been over a year since he's fought for that belt.
I know, but they also allowed him They also allowed him the Mayweather fight, but they had already said that he couldn't have both the belts at the same time. They had already stated that. So then they finally did it. The timing that they did it was so they could have another main event, but they had already said they were going to do it.
I just can't believe you're going to hate on him trying to fight Max Holloway, who I think Max Holloway is just as dangerous as Tony Ferguson.
I think he is too. I just also think that Conor is number one going for the smaller guy and number two not defending his title.
I think
That's not even something I think. Those are facts. He's going for factually the smaller guy, and he's factually not defending his title.
Yeah, I would worry about Max Holloway more than I worry about Tony Ferguson.
Really?
But a great challenge.
Mark my words.
Max Holloway where he's right now.
Conor is never going down to 145 again. Mark my words.
We will see. Okay. Well, again, we're going to be able to find that out later. What else you got?
While we're on the subject of weight cuts and Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz is being Nate Diaz. What's up with that?
Yeah, oh, good old Nate Diaz. This week on Twitter, Nate said that the UFC offered him a title fight in any weight class, but instead he wants to try out other sports, and he put out a boxing glove emoji. Now, I don't believe that the UFC offered him a title shot in any weight class, but, Eddie, do you actually think the UFC put a physical contract in front of him for UFC 219 to fight Tyron Woodley for the welterweight title?
That is something that's so dumb that I actually believe it.
Now, Dana White has come out and said that they never actually offered him that title.
He also said that they had Conor booked for 219.
No, they did not say that.
Well, they said they removed him from it.
No, they said that Conor was going to fight at 219.
Right.
And because of that, they didn't say he's booked. They never said that.
All semantics.
Sure, but that's saying like, hey, you know, they never said he's booked and had a contract or anything else. He was going to fight at UFC 219, and he's not going to. They also said he was going to fight at UFC 200, and he didn't. But, I mean, that's easy.
Well, that was much different. That one he was actually scheduled for. 219 was just a myth. Yeah.
Well, it pacified the Connecticut Boxing Association, so we're good.
If there's anything close to Nevada, That ain't saying much. Mark Hunt is back in the news. Jordan, what's up with that?
That's true. So, Eddie, a few weeks ago, we reported that Mark Hunt was actually going to be in Las Vegas to meet with doctors to check out his health after he was pulled out of a fight for comments he made in that interview about his memory loss, slurring words, etc. The UFC announced that Hunt had passed those tests, and he's cleared to fight again. So, Eddie, is there anyone that you'd actually like to see Mark Hunt fight? We thought he was going to fight, was it Fabricio Werdum? Is that the right fight you want to see?
No, we've already seen that. Let's see him, well, apparently Cain's back to working out. So that might be a good first fight for Cain before he jumps back into the title picture. Maybe Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes might be a good one.
Okay, fighting down.
Yeah.
From where he's ranked fifth right now.
Right, and Curtis Blaydes is like number nine. So it's still a top 10 matchup.
Okay.
It could make sense.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't thinking about the Cain Velasquez fight. I think that's a good opportunity, though.
Yeah. If he wants to get himself back in the title picture real quick, that's one way to jump it back up. All right. Now, Jordan, Tyron Woodley is the only one having surgery. Tony Ferguson is having surgery, too. What's up with that?
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, you want to see Conor McGregor fight Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson, he's going to be out of action for at least the next few months. He had a small elbow surgery. He says that the recovery is going really well, but he should be back around March or April, ready to go. He thinks he's going to be defending and unifying his titles at that time, but, you know, we never know.
Never know is so on point here. And now, this one kind of hurts me a little bit, but apparently Anderson Silva is making a tainted supplement excuse. What's up with that?
Yeah, Eddie, I know. I mean, I'm sure this one hurts, but as we know, this is post-Chris Weidman, and you view post-Chris Weidman as a different Anderson Silva.
Post-leg break.
So, yeah, we'll just say post-Chris Weidman. He came up against Chris Weidman and was never the same. So his strength and conditioning coach was Rogério Campos. So he's coming out to defend Silva. Now, I don't know if you've seen this guy, but the guy is 57, and he is, like, jacked to the gills.
You know, I see the picture you sent me, and I want some of that TRT.
Okay, so this is what he says. This is his quote.
Call my doctor.
Many people point at me as the responsible person for this. People who know me for a long time and know my work know that I'd be the last person to do this. Not sure why you would be the last person to do this based on how he looks, but especially because I know from A to Z about anabolic steroids. I was a bodybuilder.
He looks like he knows.
And the antidoping test I did, the first one was in 1987 at the Colorado Springs Olympic Training Center. When I was competing internationally in judo, I was tested for 10 years, and I know that from A to Z. So I would be the last person to give someone something that would make them fail a doping test, only if I was crazy or dumb.
Notice he didn't say he wouldn't give somebody something.
He'd be the last person, so I don't know if
no. He said he wouldn't give somebody something that would make them pop. He didn't say he wouldn't give somebody something.
That's also true. So,
but semantics.
I think this guy that he's like, no, I'd be the last person to do this because I know from A to Z about anabolic steroids. I was a bodybuilder. We know, and I don't think you'd be the last person to do this.
No, he's saying I'm better at cheating than that. That's what he's saying.
Okay, well,
yeah, I'm a good cheater. That's what he's saying. Okay, we're running short on time, so hit us with the new fights, Jordan.
All right, Eddie. So we talked about Robert Whittaker versus Luke Rockhold. That's UFC 221. Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou. That fight got done. It's January 20th, the main event, UFC 220.
Yes.
You have the heavyweight title and the light heavyweight title defended. You have Daniel Cormier versus Volkan Ozdemir in Boston. Michael Johnson versus Darren Elkins. That's at UFC St. Louis. Roy Nelson versus Matt Mitrione in that Bellator heavyweight tournament.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be on February 16th. So some big fights out there and some good fights, Eddie. So those are the new fights. That's what's up with that.
All right. That's what's up with that. This is Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. We'll be right back.
right, Eddie. We are back. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Eddie, this week, Big Fox, UFC Winnipeg. When this fight was announced, it was an embarrassment of riches. Robbie Lawler versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Ricardo Lamas versus Jose Aldo.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like first like non-title fight or non-like five-round fight in a long time. You had Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Mike Perry. Glover Teixeira versus Misha Cirkunov. That was a great four-card fight. We know we've lost Aldo. Josh Emmett is in there. He's 12-1 from Team Alpha Male. That's a tough fight for Ricardo Lamas. We don't know a ton about Josh Emmett yet, but he's definitely game, and he could be a challenge for Ricardo Lamas. But this is a good fight card, man. This is Jan Błachowicz versus Jared Cannonier.
That's good.
Tim Elliott, John McDessie, Abel Trujillo. There are some good fights that are happening on this fight card, and it's exciting that this is happening on Big Fox, especially, something like a Robbie Lawler versus Rafael Dos Anjos, where, you talked about Tyron Woodley earlier. Robbie Lawler versus Rafael Dos Anjos, you could get a number one contender out of this fight, especially if it's someone like Dos Anjos.
Yeah, this is basically the title eliminator, because Wonderboy Thompson isn't going to get a shot off their last couple of fights. They've already seen that twice. So this is basically it, number two against number four. And everyone would love to see Lawler get that shot again, because everyone just loves Robbie Lawler.
Lawler, he is incredible, and especially how that fight went, it was uncharacteristic of Robbie Lawler to get knocked out like that. He's shown that he's so tough. But, he's coming off that win over Donald Cerrone. Then you got Rafael Dos Anjos, who, he's now moved to, his last two fights have been at welterweight. He got a win over Tarek Saffiedine, mm-hmm. where he won by decision. And then he had that round one submission over Neil Magny back in September at UFC 215. So, These are going to be a fun fight. Lawler always brings it, always game. We hadn't seen Robbie Lawler for a while previous to that fight against Donald Cerrone. His last fight had been against Tyron Woodley. And so, the violence and just the skill set that Robbie Lawler has, it's a great matchup to go with Rafael Dos Anjos. We've known that he can strike. We know that Dos Anjos has good jiu-jitsu. But this is just going to be a fun fight, and it's really going to show who's next for this division.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if Dos Anjos actually uses his wrestling to determine where the fight takes place, because I believe he can out-wrestle Lawler. On the feet, it might be close to even.
Yeah, we will see. So the real person who's going to be upset about the winner of this fight is going to be Colby Covington. He thinks he should be a title fight. But he is ranked third. He's ranked third in the division. So
yeah,
Ricardo Lamas versus Josh Emmett. We talked about that earlier. Ricardo Lamas, he's trying to get back into the title fight. A win over Jose Aldo, that would have been really impressive for him. He really needed that.
Yeah,
a win over Josh Emmett, unfortunately, doesn't do much for him.
And being a wrestler coming from Team Alpha Male, you never know exactly how many takedowns the guy will be going for.
Yeah. So Ricardo Lamas coming off of wins over Jason Knight and Charles Oliveira. His last loss was back in 2016 to Max Holloway. So I don't think he's going to get a title fight with a win here.
Yeah, and next up on the card, Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Mike Perry. That's going to be a violent one.
Yeah, that's going to be a great fight, Eddie. I wish we had more time to talk about this, but we've got to make some picks. So let's start right there, actually. Mike Perry versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. Who you got?
I am going with Platinum Mike Perry.
All right, me too. Trujillo versus McDessie.
Trujillo.
I'll go Trujillo, too.
Great.
Lamas versus Emmett.
I am going Lamas. No
surprise. All right, I agree. And Rafael Dos Anjos versus Robbie Lawler.
I am going with Ruthless Robbie.
All right, I'll go with Dos Anjos. Guys.
Oh, you're forgetting one. Błachowicz versus Cannonier?
Yep, I think we're all going to forget about that one, Eddie. So that's Fight Night, guys. Enjoy the show. Enjoy Sports Night Talking Wrestling next. Tell your friends. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Good night.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.